Hey, y'all. We are about to have a great conversation with Dr. Andrew Tisser. We're talking about the fact that it is never too early in medicine to change your mind, right after this.
Welcome back, Tribe. You are listening to Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box, where we invite doctors, dentists, and medical entrepreneurs who are breaking the mold, stepping outside the box as entrepreneurs, and practicing on their terms to share their journey, wisdom, and their inspiration with the world. I am your host, Dr. Myesha Claiborne. My calling is to help doctors find freedom, fulfillment, and full self-expression. I have helped dozens of medical professionals transform their mindset, leverage their skill set, and build profitable businesses and careers they love. Now, let's get to the good stuff. But before we do, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you never miss an opportunity for inspiration, motivation, and empowerment with me and our amazing guests. Now, let's take it to the next level, y'all. Here we go.
All right, we're back for another episode of Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box. And as you all can hear, I still have my sultry, sexy voice on 2 weeks later. But that shouldn't matter because we're about to have an amazing conversation. And I'm super excited to introduce this doc who works with early career physicians, helping them to choose their path and go on their journey. And that's why I want to have this conversation of the fact that no matter where you are in your career, it's never too early to change your mind. So I want to welcome to the call Dr. Andrew Tisser. He is the founder of the company Talk to Me Doc. It is so great to have you on. Thanks for coming on and being with us today.
Oh, Myesha, thank you so much for having me. This is an honor. I've been following your work for some time, and you're great to talk to, so thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for being here. So I want to start by just really talking about your journey, like what has brought you to this point.
Okay. My name is Andrew Tisser. I'm an emergency physician by training. I finished medical school in 2014, graduated from residency in 2017 in Syracuse, New York. And following that, I moved to Chicago with my wife, Alicia. She's a rheumatologist because she was doing her training at Rush. And so I did full-time locums while I was in Chicago. And my goal was to try all kinds of things out, you know, go from little tiny hospitals to huge centers and see what I like, because I really didn't like residency. So I wanted to find, you know, my place. Mm-hmm. But from the beginning, it was just, you know, they always tell you residency, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Like, it's horrible, but it's going to get so much better when you get out. It's going to be amazing.
It's so funny. The context is decisive, like better than what?
Right. You know, so it's like, yeah, better than almost being dead is not right. That good. Right. You know?
Right. Right. I'm like, dude, really?
Yeah. Oh, so I guess it's all relative, but, right. So, you know, the paycheck was better, but the life was not. And, so I started looking at other things because I was so burnt out within like 2 months, and I hate the term burnout, but that's what people understand. So I mean, I was horrible within 2 months. I was, you know, the pressure to produce was unbelievable. Some facilities I was working at were like requiring 3 to 4 patients an hour, in busy ERs, 40 in the waiting room at all times, like with no incentive, like,
wow.
You know, and I have this thing, I can't leave patients on the board. Like it's my own problem, but I'm like, I got to see them. Right. And other people aren't doing that. And you just, you know, you work an 8, 10, 12-hour shift, and you get home, and you have nothing left for anybody,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
My wife almost killed me in these 2 years. I mean, I looked at everything. I was like, okay, you know, Monday, I was going to be a Medispa owner, and then Tuesday, I was going to be this real estate mogul, and then Wednesday, you know? So, like, and she's like, enough, you know? Like, pick something, figure out what you want to do. And I was like, I don't know. I can't do this, you know?
Yeah.
And so she was like, well, put it on hold for a little bit because we're going to be here for 2 years. Then we're moving to Buffalo, New York, which is where we're at now, which mm-hmm. is where she's from. She's like, settle down. You'll have a full-time job. Maybe it'll be a little bit better. And then if not, go for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was in Chicago, I did a little chart review on the side for some mm-hmm. extra bucks. Mm-hmm. And I shadowed an aesthetics practice, and I realized that I hated it. So that was great. I'm always I love crossing things off the list. That's it.
Right. You must be a J on the end of Myers-Briggs.
Maybe. So, you know, it was good. And I was like, you're right. Cause we're all going to go crazy if I keep doing this. And then, so we moved here and, you know, for all intents and purposes, the place I'm working at now is a good place. The organization is well run. It's physician run. It's hospital employed. I'm not killed at work, but I just don't enjoy it. You know, that's at the end of the day, I've come to terms with it isn't necessarily where I'm working. It's the work, and I just don't enjoy it.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because you yourself are considered early career. You said 2017,
oh, yeah.
right?
So yep.
you just came out, and I think it's important because I'm considered mid career and I think that back in our the raising of our generation in this culture, it's like, you know, you got to just keep pushing because eventually it's going to get better. And
right.
even if you don't like it, you spend all this money, you spend all this time, you spend all this da 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 da, you have to keep going, mm-hmm. right? And I think that for a long time, our generation did that, and at some point, we started waking up like, wait a minute, that's what our parents did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our parents, your grandparents. That's what our parents did. You know, get a job, work for 30, 40 years, whether you're satisfied or unsatisfied, because you got to put food on the table and, you know, retire and then, you know, whatever. But that's, you know, times are changing. And I really think it's admirable that even early on you could recognize and come to terms with, you know, it's not the place, it's the actual work. And then be courageous enough to then say, okay, now what?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. It's and I think there is still this ingrained stigma in doctors, and you know, the older docs that are just like, well, I did it and you gotta do it, and you know, buck up. It's this, you know, we worked even harder and we didn't have duty hour restrictions and this and that. I was like, yeah, but you also didn't have $500,000 of debt at 7%, you know? So, you know, things are changed and everyone talks about the late career or the mid career burnt out doctor. You know, everybody talks about it because
right.
medicine has changed and it's not what they were used to, but like this is all we've ever seen.
Right.
And early career docs are leaving in droves and
yes,
it is scary. It is so scary. I mean, and I'm not one to tell people to leave medicine. If I want people to stay in medicine, if that's the right fit for them, if
right.
they can create a career for them, because partly selfishly, because somebody's got to take care of me, right?
Who are you telling? I am a mid-career doc. I'm actually older than you, so you know I'm worried about it.
Right. I mean, seriously, it's horrible. I talked to, you know, I'm a leap year baby, so I just had a birthday.
Oh, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
What are you, like four?
Eight.
Oh, you're eight, okay.
So, and like I had people over here from that I went to medical school with, friends I haven't seen in forever, and everyone's miserable. And like, and some people say they're not, but they definitely are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sad state of affairs. So that's... And that's where we're at. And it's taken me a little while to figure out where I was going. I started a podcast in December, January,
mm-hmm.
and the initial idea was to talk to different team members about communication in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was before I left Chicago, I had the security guard get me a gift before I left. And I'm like, oh, why'd you do that? And he's like, because you talk to me like I'm a person. And I was like, oh, God.
Right. Shot to the heart.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Which I thought was sad. And so I started talking to all these people, and it's been amazing. But mm-hmm. time and time again, it just comes back to this, like, a lot of docs aren't going to communicate well because they're so miserable. And,
mm-hmm.
They're, you know, it's hard to be involved in the team and be like really friendly with everyone when you dread going to work so much.
Yeah.
And no one, and it, you know, the nurses are amazing and the techs are amazing. Everyone's great on the team, but they don't understand because they're like, you're a doc. You make, you know, they think we make millions of dollars.
They think.
You know, they're like, what do you got to complain about? You're a doctor. You're the head honcho, you know, but it's, so that's kind of where I've, that's been my trajectory.
You know, I think it's interesting because you said something very interesting, like they think that we're the head honcho. They think that we're making all this money. And the truth is, and you also made a really good point about where you all, your generation has come into medicine mm-hmm. With more debt and lower pay,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the salary has not gone up. And in fact, with all of the RVUs and the managed care, it's gone down a little bit
mm-hmm.
or maybe a lot, you know. And so it's an interesting thing. You all have come into a new sort of realm of medicine, and you're right. It's like the older docs had, and I say the older docs, the docs beyond my generation, that are older than my generation, it was a completely different thing. And then, of course, my generation sort of bridges that gap. We saw some of the old, we were transitioning to the new, which is why we jump out mid-career, mm-hmm. right? And so it's just a very interesting thing that people think that docs automatically make a lot of money. People think that we should have nothing to complain about. But then we get conditioned that to that same thing, and that's why the suicide rate's so high. That's why the depression's rate's so high.
It's
because, you know, people are like, well, what do you have to complain about? And we're like, well, I don't know. You know, I do make a lot of money. I do, like, you know, more than a lot of people in the industry and out of the industry and other industries. I do, you know, get to save people's lives. What do I have to complain about? But then, like you go to work, you kind of dreading going to work, you know, coming home with nothing left, like many other docs. And we think there's something wrong with us.
Oh, yeah. That's big.
Right?
You feel trapped. You feel trapped.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, what? How are you? Well, yeah, I guess. And especially, you know, I'm fortunate because, I mean, I'm fortunate or not, but I'm married to another physician. So if something were to happen to my income or her income, like, we would hurt, but we'd be okay, you
mm-hmm.
know? But what about the single bread earner physician that's like, listen, I got $500,000 of debt.
Right.
I got a family to support. And, you know, and my generation as well, we're not okay with being in the hospital till Friday afternoon
mm-hmm.
or Friday night at 11 p.m. doing charts and not mm-hmm. coming home and seeing our families.
It's right.
It's not worth, there's no incentive anymore to do that.
Right. Yeah. It's not a thing, as we say. It's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
It really isn't. It never.
It's not a life.
It's not a life. Well, you know, it's interesting. It's why I chose family medicine, because when I rotated through all of the specialties, I rotated through surgery and OBGYN and especially the inpatient specialties. I hated ER, by the way. It was like the most anxiety-provoking rotation. You know,
you hate it or you love it. There's one or the other.
Oh my God. Yes, yes, yes. I just, ooh, Lord. It was like very anxiety provoking for me. But yeah, you know, it really isn't a thing. Like, you want to have a life. You want to come home and see your family. You want to come and play with your kids and, you know, moms and dads alike, you know? So
yeah.
I think it's important for us to be able to honor that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, what inspired you then to turn your attention to helping early career docs?
So I got to talking to a lot of people, and especially my colleagues I went to residency with, people I went to medical school with, and, you know, and I just saw there's just so much dissatisfaction right now, and people don't know that there are other options, right? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, my wife, again, I survived almost my wife killing me in Chicago for checking all those different things out. But I learned a lot, you know, because I was introduced to people like John Jurica. I was
mm-hmm.
introduced to people like Mike Wu Ming and
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that there are other options out there. So I learned a lot of things. And I realized that, yeah, I'm doing, you know, everyone's like, oh, my God, you do so many things. You know, I dabble in administration. I do chart review. I do, you know, I'm full-time ER. I do this and that. But, you know, that's what keeps me sane.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned a lot there. And then just more and more talking to these people, it's just people just don't you know, they don't realize that there are other options and there are other things you can do. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I wanted to, A, create a safe space, a community for us, that we could talk about some of the issues that are particular to early career physicians, and then start working with people directly and seeing how I can share some of my expertise and what I've learned so far. And I'm not claiming to know everything. You know, I haven't figured it out. I'm still working 10 shifts a month. Mm-hmm. But I've learned a lot along the way, and I've really worked on myself and my mind and getting myself into a good place, so that I can share some of that and help some of my fellow docs. I mean, someone I went to residency with told me the other day she would get to work 20 minutes early so she could sit in her car and cry before she went in. I was like, that's not okay.
Right.
You know, that's never okay. Mm-mm. And sometimes it's just changing jobs. Sometimes it's easy. But so that's, and you know, I worry too about the residents coming out because it's not getting better, right? And and we're having the largest exodus of 30 to 50 year old physicians in the history of time. From the profession. I mean, I've on some of these groups, I posed a question: if someone wiped out your loan balance tomorrow, would you still practice medicine? And tons of people said no.
Wow.
Tons of people. So you're just like 11 years, 15 years, 17 years, depending on your specialty, just like, nope, whoa, nope, I'm out. You know,
yeah.
I'm gone. I'll go work at Starbucks. I don't care because
I've heard people say they want to start a tea shop.
anything but this. You know, and that's sad, you know, and like I said, I want people to stay in medicine, but I wanted to do it on their terms. Mm-hmm. I want them to be happy because your family deserves that. Right. And that's how, you know, that's pretty much it. Family's always been number one for me. That's what I care about.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as we look towards starting a family too, you know, I got to get myself right and help other people do the same thing. So. That was a little long-winded, but you get the
idea. No, that's great. Yeah, no. It's funny because I just, and you probably saw it in John Jerica's group asked the question, what's the biggest mindset shift that has to happen, or what is the biggest mindset thing that keeps you away from making that transition?
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest, one of the most common answers was financial and loans. And so I was having a conversation with a particular member. Initially she said it wasn't financial. She said something else. I said, well, if we remove that barrier, would you consider it, or would there still be another barrier? And she said, well, if you get rid of all my loans, so it's so funny that you said that, if you get rid of all my loans, then I'd be ready to explore. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I think that the myth is, I think that the myth is that there isn't something out there that we can do other than clinical medicine that would allow us to generate enough revenue to take care of our loans.
Well, that's, you know, and that's garbage. And you and I know that. And the truth of it is, even if it's just doing something part time to pay for the loan balance, so that you are essentially getting rid of your loans, right? Because even if you, whether it be a side business, whether it be investments, whether it be, you know, there are plenty of things you can do. It'd be like, I have X amount of dollars per month in a payment.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that. If that went away, I'd be happy, or I'd be able to explore things and find something to replace that. And it's not as hard as you would think, because it's not looking at like, oh, I got to replace $300-$400K a year. It's I got to replace $1,500, $2,000, $3,000 a month, which is a much easier goal to achieve than I got to replace my whole doctor's salary.
Right.
So, you know, that's a big thing. And I know, you know, we're chronic under earners, right? We don't value ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see people going on there doing telemedicine consults for $15 a consult.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, and people are like, yeah, where are those jobs at? I'm like, that's crazy. Don't do that.
Right.
But, and just to work from home, but, you know, we undervalue ourselves as physicians. We are highly trained. We're experts in our field, no matter what your field is. So, you know, chronic under earners, terrible financial mindset, you know, just a lack of education in finances.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why people are just like, yeah, nothing I can do. I got to do this for 30 years and I'm miserable and I guess I'm going to get over it. But,
right.
It doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. And you know, it's so funny because, like you said, we need to keep people in medicine because.
Yes.
And I believe it was last year, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that that we experienced the I think it was the first time we experienced a shortage. of medical students entering? Like the lowest entry, the lowest matriculation or entry of medical students or application is what it was.
Yeah.
Of applicants, of medical school applicants. So not only are people jumping out, but less are choosing to go in because they're seeing the writing on the wall, right?
Well,
and I think that, but I do think it's important for docs to know that you don't have to, and you said this earlier, you don't have to necessarily jump out of medicine to create a clinical career by your design. That you can create hybrid models. You can create, you know, like I think there's a movement towards direct primary care again.
Absolutely.
You know? Integrative medicine, people are picking that up. I mean, there's all types of different clinical models that you can actually successfully and profitably grow in the clinical realm. You just have to be willing to step outside that box, be willing to be creative, be willing to come up from under the thumb of the gargantuans, you know, and it's all, like you said earlier, it's mindset. I think it's 80% mindset.
Or just negotiate. God, please. You know, I was just talking to a buddy of mine. Yeah, I'm taking my first contract. He's like, yeah, I didn't negotiate at all. I'm like, why?
Wow.
Like, you know, not at all? Not even for something? Like, this doesn't have to be salary. It's scary. You know, if docs are just like, yep, sign here. I guess that seems right.
Well, that's the conditioning that's inside of the system. It's mm-hmm. you know, like do as you're told, take what you can get. You know, this is the best it's going to get. And so we're just like, okay, what do we know? I mean, you know, we're not business people. We're just factory workers here. And that's where we're more and more, I believe that's how you all are being conditioned mm-hmm. to come out of residency. I know in my era, I don't think the conditioning was quite as thick in our training as it became after most of people got out and into private practice. Because I know, and maybe it's just my own context. I know from the start, I was like, you know, somewhere off the rails, you know, like doing my own thing. But I was never chastised for it. I was never, you know, most my mentors, I went to did my residency in Florida Hospital in Orlando, and my mentor, shout out to Dr. Doug Moiser, he always expected that I was going to go do something different and always empowered and encouraged me for that. And so I think that times have changed where the conversation is, oh, stepping outside the box is bad. You know, you need to just keep your focus on getting a hospital job or a private practice job or, you know, like, you know, managed care job, whatever it is, join a group and be done with it. And I think that's the way you all are being pushed. The younger generation or the early career docs are being pushed into that rather than here are all of your options. Choose one that works best for you.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it just doesn't need to be that way, you know. I'll share something with you that I've never shared on air before, but I was ready to quit my second year of medical school, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I was out and because I just didn't like it and I saw what was going on, but I was 100K in debt and I was young, you know, and I was like, no, can't do anything else. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm happy that I stayed because I met my wife in medical school and, you know, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. So that, you know, all things happen for a reason and I was able to go forward and now working with the early career docs, I think I could do a lot of good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, people are so trapped. I mean, I've felt that way for so many years, but it's always like next thing, mm-hmm. next thing will be better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at least there's people like yourself and that are starting, you know, that are opening the conversation, that are making people realize what's out there and so, you know, I think it's an exciting time to be here because there are options. There's so many options.
Yeah, I you're so right. And thank you for sharing that. I think that it's important for even those medical students that might be listening, residents, that it really never is too early to change your mind. When my second year of medical school, we had a couple of people quit. We had one doc in particular. I remember her. She started her own business in medical school and just decided to quit, you know, and is doing well now.
Great.
I have another friend of mine who in my residency program, she was a year behind me. I found out later, dropped out I think it was our third year, because she just couldn't take it anymore. And then went into the family business owning flower shops.
Good.
Happy as a lark. So I think it's important. Like, look, I get it. It's like we feel so trapped. We feel so backed up against the wall. But sometimes these docs don't go and sublimate like they did, or don't keep going like you did. What they do is they end their life instead.
I know. The suicide rate is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a recent podcast episode with Dr. Erin Wiseman, and she shared the statistic that 40% of female physicians have contemplated suicide at some point.
Yeah.
I
was one of those.
So scary. It's so scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does not need to be that way. And I talk to residents all the time, and they're like, well, you know, after 5 years in my career, then I could start looking out. And I was like, no, if you're unhappy now, chances are it's not going to get a ton better.
Yeah.
So let's do other things. Let's create the life that you want. Mm-hmm. That's it. Because it's up to you, and no one's going to help you.
Yeah.
You know, unless you reach out and try to figure it out.
Yep. And I love that you talk about, you know, talking to residents, because I do a lot of programs with residents. I think that's, we need more of us doing programs inside of residency programs, inside of medical mm-hmm. school, because people need, they need to know, look, it's what you do. It's not who you are.
Right.
And one of the friend of mine in medical school, he was investing in medical school.
Mm.
And I've come across many since then, other doctors I've talked to, there's like, oh, I started investing in medical school, or I started investing in residency to build wealth. And I think it's important for us to help these young docs begin to know to diversify early on.
Oh, yeah.
So that they're not like dependent on the physician salary, you know, and that they don't feel as trapped, because they're like, well, at least I have some dividends coming in from this, and sure, I could maybe go and expand this, or I could pull back on my hours a little bit so that I have time to work on my own side gig. You know, I think that's another conversation to be cultivated in our community, and especially in the early career docs. I mean, right now, you know, the mid-career docs are where we are, and some of us are starting to get into investing now. Some people have already been investing early career, but I think now to hit the med students and the early career docs, I think you're just right on point to be doing that.
And from a systemic point, I also want to say that anyone who has any administrative interest, please start that early. We need doctors in a leadership role.
Yes.
We've given this up. You know, John Jerica talks about it all the time. We've given this up to everyone else, and we need to take back medicine completely. So, you know, I'm a medical director of my local urgent care. You know, I have some administrative interest myself, but please get a seat at the table, because you can't complain. I mean, you could leave, but you can't say how much the system is messed up and this and that if you don't have a seat at the table.
Right.
And I know it's not for everybody. But if you have any inkling, there are things you can do in residency to get involved. Mm-hmm. I created an administrative elective in my residency to work with some people. You know, and at least try it out if you're interested in that at all, because getting docs a seat at the table will also really help us from that side. And from an advocacy standpoint, if you're political at all, please get involved in that regard too, which I am not. I will tell you, I am not. But there's so much you can do. This is the most versatile degree that there is.
Oh my God, yes. I thank you for saying that, because it really is a versatile degree, and we have been for so long taught that it's not. And so, yes, you know, I think it's important that we take medicine back from the practice side, but also from the administrative side. And there are, you know, there's a lot of forces out there that are pulling against that. And I think that I love that John Jerica released his membership, because that it's really going to teach us how to get those seats back at the table. And so, you know, like early on, it's a good time to be thinking about that. So I'm really excited about your path and what you're doing. I feel like, you know, us fellow coaches, we're like sort of warriors in the transformation of medicine. And I'll tell you something I don't think I've ever shared on air. I don't know if I really shared it in front of the room either, is that back in, I think it was 2013, before I actually transitioned, when I was just beginning this journey of, I think there's something else, one of the promises I made, I was involved in some personal development work, and someone asked me the question, what is your promise for the world? And I said, you know, it's the transformation of medicine through the transformation of our providers. And that is something I want to be heavily involved in by 2020.
Yeah.
So now here we are.
Look at you.
And it's come full circle. Like, I feel like, oh, look at this. Like, our industry is really transforming. And, you know, I have all these, like, warrior gods and warrior goddesses fighting alongside me to transform this industry in such a way that we cultivate more well-being for our doctors, more fulfillment and satisfaction for our doctors, so that we can deliver the best care for our patients and be happy about it, and have and reconnect that relationship that used to be the doctor-patient relationship, that closeness that used to be the doctor-patient relationship, rather than there being this sort of, you know, tension.
Absolutely. I mean, that, you know, a lot of their interest of mine is communication. That's why they originally talk to me, doc, was talk to me, so that we can talk to everybody. And that's at least if we can be in a happy place, if we can, quote, get our minds right, then then we can really talk to each other, have meaningful conversation. And now some of this has shifted to talk to me, comma, doc, right?
So, yeah.
But I mean, it's still such a big part of it. You know, a lot of people, a lot of you coaches, I heard the whispers, you know, we need male coaches. There's no, you know, we
Absolutely.
Don't have any guys doing this. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, imposter syndrome creeps on in. And like, what do I got? I'm only 2 years out. What am I going to tell people? Yeah. But, you know, I heard it from you. I heard it from Aaron. I heard it from, like, maybe 5-6 different people. Mm-hmm. And I just, and finally I was like, we do need male coaches.
Yay.
So that's where we're at. But, you know, it's working with me, you know, we're working on money because we don't talk about it enough.
Got it.
We're working on mindset because we need to get our minds right. Mm-hmm. We're working on, you know, as Z-Dog put it, moral injury, right?
Right.
Not burnout. And we're working on making huge moves in 2020 to create the life that your family deserves. So
I love it.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, so give us the goods. I want the listeners to know how can our audience get in touch with you if they want to work with you, if you're an early career doc, if you're, you know, any kind of doc, really, but I really specialize in early career. So if you're an early career doc and you want to talk to the doc here, how do they get in touch with you? And this will all be in the show notes, y'all, but I want y'all to hear it from the horse.
Hear from me. So a few different ways. So I define early career as less than 7 years out of residency. It's a little bit arbitrary, but I thought 5 was too little and 10 was too much. So I picked 7.
All right. 7 is
the magic number. It's a magic number. We had a Facebook community going on there. It's called Early Career Physicians Taking Back Medicine. Mm-hmm. You can find it on there. So that's for us to just have a safe space to talk. Mm-hmm. You can email me at andrew@talktomedocpod. That's talk2me.com. Podcast is called Talk to Me Doc, talk2me.doc. The first kind of season focused on interprofessional communication. The second season is talking more about early career burnout and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't like to call them seasons because I don't want to say that was so last season. But you know what I mean. They're focus areas. They're focus areas.
You got jokes.
So I'm on Twitter at TalkToMeDoc, Instagram at TalkToMeDocPodcast. Facebook is just Andrew Tisser. LinkedIn is Andrew Tisser DO. And I think that's everything. I don't know. If I forgot something, Maisha will have it in the show notes.
You know I will. I have a website address, talktomedocpod.com. That's talktomedocpod.com.
You got it.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on and having this discussion. One of the things I really love is intergenerational conversations. That's one of my jams. Is really like bringing the generations together and really comparing notes and talking shop, because, you know, it's sometimes I think there's just all this talk about, you know, baby boomers versus Generation X versus millennials versus the generations beyond, which I have no, you know, context for what the names are. So, but we're not so different.
No.
We have a different context of the world that we kind of came up in, but we're not so different in what we want. We all want to be happy. We all want to be fulfilled. We all want to, like, family is, for most of us, we want to be with friends and family. We want to contribute. We want to feel accomplished. We want to be comfortable financially, you know, be able to pay the bills and do nice things. I mean, it's like we all kind of want the same things. And it's, you know, how do we come together and have these great conversations to close the gaps of communication so that we can run together toward this transformational goal for our community. So thank you for being a doc warrior with me and for bringing this conversation. And I look forward to seeing you on your path and you continue to grow.
Yeah, thank you, Maisha. I have one last thing I forgot to say.
Yes.
So I am accepting new clients for the time being.
Yes.
Until I am jammed, but for now I am taking new clients, and any residents that want to work with me will get a half price discount because they're struggling and I want the residents to not worry about the money situation. If that's what they want to do, we're going to figure it out. So please just reach out to me directly or on any of the handles, and I'd be happy to schedule a discovery call and we can chat.
Awesome. Awesome. And if you have a scheduling link, we'll make sure we get that into the show notes. So make sure you send that to me we'll make sure we get that in the show notes. Yeah. Reach out to Andrew here. He's a great resource. And we look forward to, like I said, seeing you be a warrior beside us to help with these early career docs to you know, create a career on their terms.
Well, thank you for everything you do, Maisha. You're an inspiration.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right. Y'all have heard it. Dr. Andrew Tisser, Talk to Me Doc. Get in touch with him. Y'all already know how to find me, drmaisha.com. But the real person to get in touch with right now is Dr. Andrew Tisser. So we thank you for listening to this podcast. As usual, I am grateful for all the listeners, all of the reviews, and we look forward to hearing you, your feedback and your reviews about this podcast. So make sure you go and you leave a little note for us. And I will be seeing you on the next podcast. So thanks for listening. Have a great rest of the day and a great rest of the week. Namaste, y'all.
Thanks for spending time with us on this episode of Next Level Physicians Thriving Outside the Box. We hope you enjoyed this one as much as the rest. Remember to go ahead and hit the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is released. It is you as our listener who help our podcast to grow. So if you like this podcast, if you enjoy what you're hearing, if you are inspired, we'd really appreciate it if you'd write a quick review and share it with 5 of your friends. We want to continue to expand our reach and bring this transformation to all of those doctors and medical professionals out there who are still seeking more autonomy, more freedom, more expression, and purpose in their careers and lives. Finally, if you want to learn more about how I can help you as a doctor or medical professional transform your mindset, leverage your skill set, and create a profitable business and career you love by your design, please check out my website, www.drmaisha.com. That's drmaisha.com. On my website, you can access one of my 3 free masterclasses to get you started on your journey to the next level. Have a wonderful rest of the day and an amazing rest of the week, y'all. And keep your head up, looking to the next level. Namaste.